Okay, everyone, if you have your Bible and you want to turn to our scripture tonight, it's Revelations 5, 9 through 10, verse 9 through 10. We'll be reading out of the King James. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Thank you. Be seated.
Well, we're thrilled to have Evan Todacini with us tonight. As was mentioned, the Todacinis, Evan and Crystal, and their family are doing church work, a church plant there in Mesa, Arizona. They're with the Salt River Congregation. It's a great congregation. A group of us were just there about 2-3 weeks ago. They're doing primarily, not exclusively, reaching out to Native Americans. There's a Salt River Pima Reservation just nearby, and that's a big part of their focus. Evan was saying they've been there about 3 years now. Congregation is a solid 75, 80 members and peaks up to 100. It's a vibrant church. We really enjoyed it. Feel like there's a great momentum, and I won't take all the details. I'll let Evan share, but we're just happy to be involved with them and partner in this mission effort here stateside, and we're just happy that he's here with us and that we got a chance to, several of us got a chance to know him and them in that congregation better during our trip. We look for a long partnership, and we're just glad you're here, Evan. So, Evan, give us a report.
Good evening. Everybody hear me all right? We're not used to all this back home. It's just kind of, you just don't even need this. You just get up and speak. Appreciate y'all coming out this evening. I'm very thankful for the North MacArthur congregation. So first off, just want to thank the eldership here, as well as the missions committee. It has been a blessing as we continue to get to know this congregation and be able to engage in a work that I hope that you can see. God has a lot of opportunity for us. The Native American work, I will not go over a lot of the statistics like I did last year, but I think it's pretty obvious that you all have bought into the need here. And certainly it's a place and it's a work that allows us to see a little bit differently than most mission works because it's right here in our backyard. And so I understand that giving sometimes a report about the mission work can be something that loses our interest in a way because you don't know the people that's on the screen. You've never been there. I mean, there's a group that's been able to be here with us. But I want you to know that it is biblical to give a report. If you remember in Acts chapter 21, Paul went to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that in Acts chapter 21, starting in verse 17, Luke records that after we arrived in Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. He said that in the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. It says that after he had greeted them, he began to relate one by one the things which God had done among him through the among the Gentiles through his ministry. Goes on to say in verse 20 that when they heard it, the congregation says that they began glorifying God and said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands are among the Jews of those who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law." And so it is biblical to give an account for things that are going on in the work that you all are engaged in. So I hope that this is going to be an encouragement to you, as well as provide you with some information, and hopefully you leave and you exit these doors tonight a little more encouraged because you all have a hand in what we do. So we thank you. I want to first start off, and I'm going to go quickly. There's two PowerPoints here. But I want to first talk to you about really something that you don't hear about a whole lot. At least I have not heard about. You know, when we talk about the Native American work, I'm from the Navajo Nation. And the Navajo Nation is northeast Arizona, up near the Utah border. So it's pretty north in Arizona. I live just outside in Phoenix, and we do a mission work on the Pima Reservation. And the two reservations are about 5 hours apart. Well, on the Navajo Reservation, that's where you would, I guess the term would be the boonies, right? Would you call them the boonies? There's no buildings anywhere, right? And so I want to give you a brief story on this, and I hope that this will encourage you. About 35 years ago, there was a Navajo woman by the name of Rosita Soce. Rosita Soce had not been aware of Christianity. She had never even read the Bible. Well, the story goes that Rosita made a trip down to Phoenix, where we live now, because, as all natives do, because you're so far, you're so rural on the reservation, if ever you need to go school clothes shopping, if ever you need an oil change, if ever you need to go to the store, you go to the city. And so where you can get all that done in one trip is Phoenix, Arizona. So Rosita drove down to Phoenix about 5 hours, and she decided to attend a worship service Sunday morning. She worshiped with the Church of Christ in northern Phoenix one Sunday morning. She heard the sermon, and again, Rosita is her first. She was raised on the reservation. She's fluent in Navajo. But when she heard the sermon that was preached, she was convicted and came forward, and she was immersed into Christ that morning. She went back home to Pinon, Arizona, which is about 6 hours from Phoenix. And she slowly over the years started bringing her children down to Phoenix. When they were of age and she felt like they could understand, she would bring them down. Slowly and surely, her children began also obeying the gospel. It had been 35 years that I would hear about this tiny little congregation in Pinon, Arizona. Last year, the beginning of last year, I got a call from a brother in Christ, Don Rust, who I had never met. He lives in Kentucky. Now, first off, if you're from Kentucky, they speak a whole different language. They say it's English, but it's not. And so he had called me, and he sounded like he was rapping. But I had, you know, so I slowed him down. This is a guy I had not met before. But he said, "Hey, are you Evan Totocini?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I got your packet in front of me. And in your packet, I don't know how I got it, but it's in front of me. But this packet says that you're Navajo. Is that true?" I said, "Yes." He said, "It says that you were born and raised on the Navajo Reservation in Arizona. Is that correct?" I said, "Yes." I felt like I was in an interrogation room. I had no idea who this was. But he said, "Evan, I want you to know something. For the past 5 years, the congregation that I'm a part of had been sending a small group to the Navajo Nation to engage and check up on the Burnt Corn Mountain Church of Christ. Now, I know all the congregations in my home reservation, and I did not know about this congregation." So I said, "There is no Burnt Corn Mountain Church of Christ." He goes, "Yes, there is." He said, it's a church consisting of a small family, about 5 Christians, that have met every Sunday for about 30 years. And he said, "I'm unable to make the trip this year, next year. This year, I want to make it, but I want to get somebody in there with them that'd be able to make that trip a lot easier than I would." So I agreed, and I said I would meet him in Pinon. And he said, "I don't know if you know where Pinon is," and he tried to give me direction. I said, "Listen, I'm from there." So he said, "Well, it's a tiny little town called Pinon, Arizona." I said, "My grandparents live 10 miles outside of Pinon." And so we had met there in the summertime, and this is what had happened. So here's Pinon. When I say it's in the boonies, look at this map. You see, it can't be any more rural in the Navajo Reservation. My grandparents live in Forest Lake. Now, again, this is in northeast Arizona. And so just from you look at this, 30 miles takes you 1 hour and 9 minutes because the road is so bad. It's dirt road, and you got to do all kinds of stuff. And you see kind of how that is. But it's in a rural spot. And so we went up there. I got my brother-in-law to come with me. So we made from Phoenix. It's about a 7-hour drive or so. And so we went up there, and these are the pictures, and this is the experience that we had with this congregation. I had never met them before. When we arrived, this congregation is really a family, and you see the quote-unquote church building that they meet in on the left. Are you guys familiar with those sheds that you kind of buy, and you kind of pick them, and you relocate them? That's what they use on the left here and that's where they meet for Sunday services. On the right there, you see a hogan. Now, hogan is a traditional home for the Navajo people, and so this is where a lot of them stay. This is their home. But we got there, and they had had a cookout for us, and they had all these things ready for us to eat and enjoy before we got into the service. So this was in the afternoon. But I want you to notice all the buildings that are around there. See the mall, you see Walmart, you see Target. Now this is where we were, and when I mean this is the middle of nowhere, it is in the middle of nowhere. You see these, you know, the infamous reservation dog. They're a different species. They'll drink antifreeze from a vehicle, and they'll be on the ground. 3 days later, they're up running around again. So they're, you know, this is reservation dog. And so you have the family here, and they're just out and about playing. But I want you to look here on the left. Can anybody see and tell me what that is? What does that look like there? What does that look like? It's a truck bed. It's an old pickup truck bed that's sitting on blocks. Hold on to that memory because you'll see how they use it in a bit. I didn't place that picture right. But what they do in order to baptize somebody is when they have somebody, they teach them the gospel and they're ready to go. This one isn't it, but they use the truck that they had. We filled that. We've had three baptisms up there. What we do is we get tarp. We use two of them. We put it and we line the truck and we start filling it with water that would normally go to the cattle and the livestock. And so we pour it in there and we're like, hurry up, hurry. The water is leaking. And so we got to make sure they get in there and hurry up and do that. And so this morning we had a baptism for our new sister in Christ that had never heard the gospel before until that day. And so we studied with her, and there's Don Russ there. Doesn't he look like just he's coming from Kentucky? That's the look there. And so we had a great day that day. We had a sister buried into Christ. And here is the congregation. I don't know if there's sound for that. But here's DeCoven Adams, and he's leading singing.
And I can't feel at home in this world.
There's Rosita right there.
Two. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior.
Now, the Coven, who I brought with me, he'd only been a Christian for 2 years. And so he's helping me with that. And the Coven, actually, is a brother-in-law. He's married to Crystal's younger sister. DeCoven is half black and half Navajo, but DeCoven was actually being brought up to become a medicine man. And so when he had heard the gospel, he had been converted, and a lot of that happened because of Chase's death, our son's death. And so he was open to that. And I'll talk a little bit more about DeCoven, but that's kind of the worship service that we had. You see the building that they're meeting in. And this is the congregation I would like you to keep in your prayers. This congregation has been through a lot. Matter of fact, two of the girls in this picture, these teenagers, since we've left last year summertime, two of them has tried to commit suicide. And so if you look at the need for the gospel, why are you guys engaged in this work? It's because of groups like this that are so eager to hear God's word that when they get the opportunity, they jump on it. And so this was a huge blessing for us to be able to be up there. But if you look, the lady in the pink, that is Rosita. She, one by one, would bring her children. And now she's got her husband, who's a baptized, who's a Christian. She's got her mother, and she's working on her. The sweetest old lady there. And so I wanted to be able to give you an update about this congregation. And nobody knew they even existed. Imagine that our groups out there in this world that we would never know. But they, for 35 years, this group has just every week just stuck with it. No preacher, no teacher. Matter of fact, this past Easter, Rosita called me and said, Evan, can you make me a flyer? Because for Easter Sunday, we want to invite the community to come and have church with us. And so she had sent me a flyer, and it was the cutest thing ever. You could tell she had not gotten any training yet, but they, as small as they are, invited the community to come. They had a cookout. They had hot dogs. They hid Easter eggs. And so she said, Evan, can you come and preach for us this Sunday? I could not make the trip. That day, I don't know what they did in order to fill that. But, it's encouraging to me. So maybe as we move forward, this would be a location that we could possibly get some members to go up and visit. So keep the Burnt Corn Mountain Church of Christ in your prayers. We'll flip on over to the other PowerPoint there. All right, kind of just an update. This is a picture that I didn't even have. I had to ask other people that came and took pictures of us. So this is my family now. This is, we have another addition, Ramey Lynn Todachitney. Ramey is 5 months now, and she's not missing any meals. She is just eating and sleeping. And so Faith right there, you see her. I'm surprised her hand is not on her hip. She is a sassy young lady. And so this was taken just a few months ago there. But as far as kind of an update, give you some numbers. Since last year, 2018, we've had 27 baptisms. 10 of them this year have been linked, so they're actually family members. Now that's important because when you think about Native Americans, everybody's one big family. Everybody's a cousin. There is no such thing as a second or a third. Everybody's a cousin. There's no such thing as a great aunt or a great aunt. Everybody's grandma and grandpa. And so you see that in some way somebody knows somebody. And so we appreciate people bringing their family members, and we're starting to see them obey the gospel. We've had 2 baptisms in the last 2 months. But what's very encouraging to me is 11 of them have been through one of our 2 main outreaches. Josh Austin and I, we go into the Journey to Recovery, an addiction center for people who are struggling with addiction. Number 2, we go into the Department of Corrections, both of which are on the Pima Reservation. And so 11 of them have come from those who have obeyed Christ in the actual prison. I want to give you one story about a man. His name is Clyde. Clyde had been studied with for several months, and one day, after a study, he's like, I'm ready. I'm ready to obey the gospel. And so we had to set up a day in which we bring our baptism, and I'll show you that in a bit. But we come and we bring it up, we fill it with water there, and they bring him out in the yard. And here's what Clyde did. He's walking out in his chains and he's going like this. Dead man walking. Dead man walking. He knew that when he was immersed into Christ, the old man has been done away with. And he was ready to make that commitment. After he came up out of the water, he shouted with joy. And he took something out of his back pocket and went in the middle of the yard. Everybody was there. And he started tearing up something, a magazine that was pornography magazines. And he shouted to everybody, he said, I don't want any of you coming to me because the old man, the old Clyde is dead. The new me is ready to live for Christ. And so that's one of the great, I'll never forget that in my mind. Here's one of our newest converts. This is Lonnie Yazzie. We don't have a baptismal area at where we meet. So wherever there is water, that's where we're going to do it. This is at our apartment complex. We just went outside of our apartment into our pool. And so this is Lonnie Yazzie. Lonnie is from the Navajo Reservation. She's married to Garrett Yazzie. We're currently doing studies with Garrett now. But very, very proud of this woman, this new sister in Christ. Here's 2 others. We have August. August lives across the street from the building. We don't meet on the Pima Reservation per se, but just south of it. And so because we're technically in the city, we live across from an apartment complex. Well, August lives there, and we actually have 4 converts, so it's 4 brothers and sisters who are coming from there. Another person from across the street is Brent Beegler. Brent's door was knocked on by Larry and Carol. Larry and Carol, you'll see in a bit, are 2 of our most evangelistic people there. They have 0 training, but they have no problem knocking on doors and inviting folks. So they invited Brent. Brent came, and after he was baptized into Christ, he said, you know what, I'm going to bring my wife. And we said, that'd be great, bring her. So he brought Joanne. Turns out Joanne is half Navajo and half Apache. We had no idea about her, but now she's been able to make some connections in the congregation. But here is how we roll on the reservation. We don't know when somebody's going to be ready, so we are always ready. And so this is Josh's vehicle, and whenever we have studies on the reservation, there's nowhere to baptize. And so we just have this, and we haul it around wherever we go. The last time we left it in one of the members' yards on the reservation, Justin, it was stolen. So this is our 2nd one, and so we don't let this go out of our sight. So I want to give you a kind of roll through. When somebody's ready, we've just had a study. Josh and I are on the res, and they're like, Josh, this guy's ready to go. He'll make the phone call to Justin, say, Justin, start the water. And so he's like, I'll be over with the trough. And so Josh drives over to Justin's house. He parks, unloads it, and he's filling it. It takes about 37 and a half minutes. We have it down to a science now. Then we're able to text everybody in the congregation and say, there's a baptism. Come now, meet at Justin's house. So everybody's meeting at Justin's house. And again, this is on the res. There's a bunch of white, black, brown people all in his yard. People are driving by going like this. There's just a bunch of people, and we baptize them into Christ in his front yard. Welcome him with song and prayer. And so again, very thankful to be able to do that. But this is how we, the eunuch said, look, there's water, right? Wherever there is water, we've even done it in a murky old canal site on the reservation. Muddy water, we've done that. As far as the attendance goes in 2018, averaging about 80 Wednesday night. We actually have a good rate as far as people coming back for Wednesday night and Wednesday services. So about 55 we averaged last year. This year, we're averaging 87. Wednesday night, we averaged 65. And so there's a good group that come back, and we're very encouraged about this and kind of just to feed off of this. The group that came out that was led by Mel and Kevin, they came out and we did two seminars. Number one was a workshop, an all-day Saturday workshop in faith and politics. And then starting on Sunday through Wednesday, we did a VBS/seminar about marriage. To give you an idea of how involved the congregation is, Sunday morning we had 99 as our count. You want to know how many people came? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 97, 98, 99. We had almost everybody there for the seminars that night than we did Sunday morning for services. So we praise God for all of that, and they're committed. So what we did also is, because we were busting at the seams, we needed to figure out where we were going to go. We had a lot of prayers on this. And just so happened, the WIC office, the Assistance for Women and Children next door, they had left and vacated the space next door. So we jumped on that, and now we were able to renovate that, tear down the middle wall there. And so now we have an additional 1,200 square feet with a very large classroom. So we're very thankful for that. Here's kind of looking at it from the opposite way there. Here is our potluck Sunday, and here's Garrett and Lonnie here. You can see on the left. And so we always have a great time for Potluck Sunday. But as far as fellowship goes, one of the things that I've been able to take on, among several other things, is looking over the family ministry and kind of the youth ministry. So this night in particular, we had a family game night. And so the family game night, this turned out awesome. We have one Navajo family here, the Osif. Actually, Andrew is half Navajo and half Pima. And his wife, Tasha, and their son, Harvin and Luke, they came out. Now, Andrew's mom actually was baptized into Christ alongside my mom several years ago back on the Navajo reservation. And so you see that her ability to be faithful with her husband has allowed her son to be able to follow in his footsteps. You can also see there's Crystal here. There's Kenley being her mama's girl self right there. And this is faith right here. This is all you need to know about this girl right there. She has gone through my phone and deleted photos to say, okay, let me retake this, Dad. I wasn't there yet. And so she is, the difference between her and Kenley is this. If there's a bug on the ground, what I tell the two is, Faith, don't be afraid of it. It's just a tiny bug. It's not going to do anything to you. Kenley, do not eat the bug. That is the difference between my two daughters there. And it's be interesting to see how Raimi comes up. But there's Kenley there. Here is Brianna. Brianna is Crystal's younger sister. She's holding Raimi right there. And Brianna's husband, DeCoven, was the gentleman I took up to Burnt Corn Mountain, and he was leading songs. Here we have Larry and Carol Padgett there. They're the ones that were knocking on the door on their doors across the street at the apartment complex. But did I tell you all about how Carol and Larry came to know God last year? Well, I'll tell you again because it's been a year. But Carol had walked in one day just randomly. I'd never met her. She came in and said, you know what, and so after services, we greeted her and everything. She said, you know what, I just found you because I was tired of traveling 45 minutes in this heat. That group that just came back there knows what she means by heat. It was 112 degrees, I think, when we were door knocking out there. But she had come and said, I just told God I'm going to the closest church. Turns out we had just got the building, and she started coming. Well, we studied with her, and she was converted. That very night she was converted, I got a call about 11 o'clock at night. It was her husband, Larry. And Larry was not feeling good. He was like, "What did you do to my wife?" And I'm like, "Who is this?" He's like, I'm Carol's husband, Larry. What did you do to her? She came back and she's so bubbly." And he's like, "Carol is, she's a bubbly woman already, but now she's extra bubbly. What in the world did you do to her?" And I just told her, I said, we taught her about God and she obeyed the gospel. Now she's saved. She realizes that. Long pause. He said, "Well, I want some of that bubbly. Can we sit down?" And we had studies after that. And so Larry was immersed into Christ, and they have been on fire ever since. So there's August there. There's Brent in the back as well. But then we also have Aaron Sales. Aaron Sales has been a huge blessing to Salt River. He was a former minister and youth minister at a congregation in downtown Phoenix for about 30 years. He first started worshiping with us when we were before we had a building. And he has not been able to leave yet. So we told him, "Aaron, we're going to find a tribe for you somehow, some way. So we're going to get you into a tribe." He said, these are his words, he said, "I can be the Blackfoot tribe." And so he is somebody that we love so, so much. He's done an awesome job. And then we also have one more family here. This is Stephanie Wajardo. She is one of the first Christians that became Christians in Kayenta, my hometown, when Josh's father was still there. And so this is the first family we know of, the Wajardos, that has every family member being a Christian. It has been a tremendous blessing to us at Salt River. What we also do is I do teen events, so I also oversee the teens. And we try to do at least once a month something with the teens, whether it's a Bible study, go out and play laser tag, something like that. And so this is one of the Bible studies we did. On the left and on the right are Josh Austin's girls. This is Aaliyah. This is Alyssa. And then we also have Celeste. Celeste, does anybody here regularly read the Christian Chronicle, the Brotherhood newsletter? If you do, you probably are familiar with this girl here. She was the reason why the Christian Chronicle, Eric from the Christian Chronicle came out and visited us to do a piece on her. So I'll talk about that in a little bit. But here's Passionate here, and then here is Olivia. Another thing that we've done is we have a brother in Christ who pitches for the Arizona Diamondbacks. His name is Jason McKinley. He grew up in Houston, where Josh Austin's brother is a member. When he was trying out for the D-backs, Josh's brother called him and said, "Hey, there's a guy coming out. He's a young guy. He's awesome. Use him and get him to work because he's a guy that can do a lot of stuff." Well, my dad, as you all know, he's a baseball and football coach for my high school back home on the reservation. And so whenever my dad sends teams down to Phoenix, I'm like, "Hey, Dad, how would you like for a professional baseball player to speak to the team?" You know, and me and Jason are like, you talk about faith, talk about God, but I don't tell my dad that because he's not a Christian. So he's like, "Yeah." So anytime we can link him up with those reservation schools, this is the high school baseball team from where I'm from, Kayenta. And so that's another thing that we're able to do to help them out. As far as the community outreach goes, I've already talked about this. We do a lot of seminars for the community. Every seminar we do, about 90% of them involves God's design for family and God's design for marriage. What we have to realize is we cannot change the world by a vote. We cannot change the world by who is in office. But I can change the world by being the person God has called me to be in my family. If I are a strong Christian mother and a father, and they have a Christian marriage strong, then their children and their family are stronger. Then strong families make up strong communities. Strong communities make up strong regions. That's how we change the world, being who God has called us to be. And so this is one of the seminars that we've done, Parenting in a Digital Age, and this was open to the community, and we had a great turnout. On the right, is Sandy Norris. She is the wife of the minister at the Robinson and Center Church of Christ in Conway, Arkansas, where I just came from. What they do with their children's ministry is they raise money and they buy these Bibles. These are the World Bible School Bibles, the personal Bibles. And she sends boxes to us whenever they get enough funds. Well, I use those Bibles and I hand them out. We hand them out to the jail, to those in the recovery center. And so she, when she visited, her and Steve, was able to see two women who are actually reading those Bibles. So it was really neat. The woman on the left here is a sister in Christ now. And so it's really neat for her to see what they were doing, having an impact in the kingdom. Here's one of the Sundays we're able to do a teacher appreciation day. And something we've done this year is really tried to focus on a theme, which is equipping the saints. Because we have about 30 to 35 new Christians, about 2 years or younger, being able to ground them in the faith has been very important to us. And so we actually kind of did for 2 months straight, kind of just hit one nail in the belief system. And so here we are talking about the need for a cappella singing and how the New Testament has called us to worship God in a certain way when it comes to music. And so that has been a blessing to them. What I also did this year is I conducted my first Bible camp. Anybody that does any conducting or organizing of a Bible camp, my hat is off to you, because this was tough. And so we have a Bible camp every year at the end of June. All of the reservation congregations get together, and we go out into the reservation boonies like you just saw, except this part has trees. So, yes, we have trees on the reservation, if you're wondering. And so that was something that was really, really good. This year we had a record of attendees. We had 162 people come, and for a week you are roughing it. There is no facility there. There's no running water. There's no electricity. But it's just us. You bring your tent. Whatever you bring for water is what you're going to use. And so we had a great time. So 160 people to be able to do that for a week. That was pretty good. What we also do is to try to train up the men in the congregation is we have Wednesday nights this thing called the 5 minutes of power or 5 minute message. This is the Coven, the same guy, my brother-in-law. He's giving a 5 minute message. It helps these men see that when you become a Christian, you are given a role. And so part of that role is to get up and you be ready to speak when there needs to be that, if you have that capability, but it's able to help them grow and develop. Here is a picture from camp here. So everybody brings your you can see everybody there, 160 people, and we're having, I think, worship service right here. This is the end of it, but I want you to, if you have not seen it, go home and Google this. It's on their website. This is where I pulled up a snapshot from the website there. But we had the Christian Chronicle come out, and because of this surge in suicides amongst teenagers, you heard me talk about that before, but he came out to talk about how the church is trying to combat that with the message of Jesus Christ. And so he came out and he interviewed Celeste that I told you to, that was in that picture. This is Celeste's mom, Arlinda. And so if you have time, go home. And he came out to write just one piece. He left with saying, I'm going to write three pieces on this congregation. And one of them was the fact that we have 12 tribes represented in the congregation of Salt River. So it has been a huge blessing, and I'm very thankful for it. I don't know how much time I have left, but I always like to open it up for any questions or thoughts about what was presented. I hope you see that this work, God has been blessing it. You know, and again, our call is to sow the seed, but it's very nice to see when that seed is taking root and it explodes. For a work that has been planted 5 years ago, this congregation is as old as I am in the faith. And so I was born, this is my home congregation at Salt River. And so to see how it's grown is tremendous. And really, it's that need to glorify God for what he is doing through us. So any questions, any thoughts? Yes. Thank you. On which part? Okay. Yes. Thank you so much. Yes. So we call it traditionalism. It's the native belief. So the Navajo beliefs, not every tribe in America, not every Native American tribe believes the same thing necessarily. Kind of it's under the same umbrella, and that's spiritualism. That can lead into, worshiping things on the earth or several paganistic gods. But yes, so very, very prevalent. Not necessarily at Salt River, because we're kind of in the city. The natives who are coming off the reservation are coming into the city. That's who we're reaching. But if you go back to the reservations themselves, you'll see a lot of them. Two of my grandfathers are medicine men, and that's how I was raised. So I wasn't necessarily raised being prepped to become a medicine man, but I was raised in that teaching. From as far back as I can remember, I was sitting in these ceremonies that would take place, peyote meetings, squaw dances. We didn't do powwows a whole lot. I think that's more of a Plains Indian type deal. So we didn't have a whole lot of powwows. But those ceremonies I was raised in. I was taught by my grandfather that there's a creator, there's changing woman, there's spider woman, and we're made from the dust, and the holy people are out there, and they're the ones communicating with us. So that's what I came out of. And when I came to ASU, Arizona State, then I was taking science classes. And the science classes, a huge push of evolution. Lawrence Krauss is overseeing the science department at Arizona State. Lawrence Krauss is one of the leading physicists, and he happens to be an atheist. So there was evolution on this end. There was what I knew growing up that was traditionalism. And then I'm studying on the side with Josh Austin about the Bible. And so there's all of that. So when you talk about reaching a Native American, I think of it like earphones. Earphones with the cord. They're cordless now. But when they had cords, you ravel it up nice and tight and you put it in your pocket. Only 5 minutes go by. And you pull that out. What's it look like? It's in a huge mess. But the only way to use it is you have to take the time to take it strand by strand. And so normally these are not the numbers that you see. For some reason, God is blessing us with numbers. But normally, getting somebody to just be in their home, letting you be in their home, and they know you're a gospel preacher, that is a win. That is a huge step forward. But traditionalism is huge. Traditionalism, Mormonism, and really Pentecostalism are the three, I would say, that's most prevalent on the Navajo Reservation, at least. Yeah. Yes, sir. I was going to throw a picture up there from the minister, Philip James. Yes, Hogback is right on the eastern border of Farmington, the reservation. Yes. Yes, the Hogback congregation is probably one of the oldest works on the reservation. It's been there for a long time. The minister there is Philip James. Now, Philip James is one of six ministers that are working. There's eight congregations on the Navajo Reservation. Six of them have full-time ministers. Five of those full-time ministers are over the age of 70. None of them have helpers. They don't have assistants. They don't have associates. Philip James is one of them. And Philip James is actually legally blind. He's been blind for about 7-8 years. And so coming out of Bear Valley, I went to work with him because he's so wise and he is so kind. And so Philip, I love him to death. And I said, Phil, let me ask you this. How hard is it to minister and preach? And he said, well, let me just tell you how I go about it. He said that him and his wife, Irita, what they do is he picks out what he chooses in his mind, what he wants to talk about on Sunday. And him and Irita, she will read him verses over and over and over all week. Sunday morning, he'll get up and recite those verses by memory. And that's how he preaches. And so, yeah, I love Phil to death. But yes, Hogback Church of Christ is still going strong. Maybe one or two more. Yes. Permission to drive through the reservation? No. Nope. Now there are, each tribe is its own sovereign entity, so the federal government has given each tribe sovereignty, so they decide what they do with their money, their police, and their government, and stuff like that. But you can drive right through. No problem. Maybe one more. Or maybe no more. I think we're all done. All right. Well, I appreciate you letting me give this update. I pray it's an encouragement to you to know what's going on. You can like the Salt River Church of Christ Facebook page, and we try to do all kinds of updates on there, and so kind of keep you in the loop as well. I don't know if anybody has a need that needs to be taken care of tonight, but I'm sure that if you need a need, we can certainly take care of that as we. I imagine we would close with a closing song. And so if you need that opportunity, please come as we stand and we sing our final song.